freely come into your presence as your people, as your children, a deep sense of assurance that you love us and care for us. For we know that you have demonstrated your love towards us, and that while you're yet sinners, you sent the Lord Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, to die for our sins. We thank you for opportunities like this that we can gather together to express our gratitude to you, our appreciation of you, a time where we can worship you together. And we ask that you help us, that during times like this we may learn how to deepen our worship of you, and also day by day in whatever circumstances we may be in, we may also know how to express our love, our appreciation of you, and every thought, word and deed may be an expression of our worship of you. Father, we ask that you help us. As we grow in appreciation of you, we may also learn what it means to have an abiding joy in us. The joy that we have, the confidence that we have to face whatever situation of life will not be dependent on outward circumstances, but will be true because you love us and because we are walking in your ways in fellowship with you. And so we ask that you help us, each one, to know how to order our lives, to know what are the things we should concentrate upon, that day by day we will not only maintain this fellowship with you, but also deepen it in our personal lives, and also together as a congregation, we may indeed know how to glorify your name in our lives. And so, Father, we ask that as we continue to ponder over what you revealed in the scriptures, as we ponder over how to face and go through situations well, we ask that you will continue to speak to us, that we may not only be able to understand with our minds, but also there may be true understanding in our hearts, and that there may be the corresponding response that you desire of us. We thank you for what has been written in the scriptures. We know that there's so much that we can learn from what you have caused to be written for our sake. And we ask that you help us to be diligent and earnest in reading, pondering over what you have caused to be written for our instruction. And we thank you today for what you have recorded of life of David, what he went through. And as we ponder over what we can learn from his encounter with Goliath, we ask that the truths may become clearer to us and also helpful for our personal lives. We pray that you will speak to us and guide us during this time, that you protect us and keep us from the evil one. Do you not allow the powers of darkness in any way to disturb, distract, or harass us, or in any way hinder us from understanding or responding to what you have to say to us. We pray the Spirit of God may be pleased to move in our midst and to speak to us. We entrust this time to your loving hands. We ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of appearance and reality, the 62nd message, and the second major category of situations, the 38th message, and we are considering David's encounter with Goliath. And today we concentrate on what we can learn. What we can learn from David's encounter with Goliath. In the previous message, we compared and contrasted David with Goliath and how we seem to be a contest between two who are rather unequal in Goliath's favor. That is, from the outward appearance of things. But in reality, this was not so. If we have a true, accurate assessment and perspective of the encounter between David and Goliath, then we'll find that it's not really surprising that David overcame Goliath. And we have looked at and considered how and why David triumphed over Goliath. Today, I want to concentrate on what we can learn for our personal application, how to face and go through situations well, generally, and also how to face and overcome difficulties and problems in our lives, the Goliaths of our lives. I want to begin with two preliminary remarks or observations. First of all, we look at Goliath. We've considered his size, his armor, his weapons, and his strength, as well as his experience in battle. It's quite clear that these were the basis of his confidence, the basis of Goliath's confidence. As we ponder about it, we will realize that this is also the basis of the confidence of the people of the world. Consider his size and his strength. We may compare this with the natural endowments, the capabilities, the abilities of people, his armor, his weapons, when they have equipment, the facilities that are suitable for the task. His experience in battle, we can compare also people who have experience or they have skills, they have knowledge for to face the particular obstacle or problem, the know-how. When all these things are in place, then they are confident. That is relative to the task or the problem that they are encountering or the project that faces them. As believers, we know that it should be different with us. But sad to say, believers also tend to place their confidence in such things. And this is an aspect that we must prayerfully ponder over and take note of. We tend also to place our confidence in such things. There's a tendency for us to feel confident when these factors are favorable. And so we also tend to live according to the outward appearance of things. So when the problem or the task or the matter at hand seem to be rather small or easy relative to our abilities, our skills, our knowledge, our experience, or to face a certain task, we have the equipment and facilities which we think are more than adequate to resolve or to accomplish the task at hand, that these are available, then we tend to feel confident. We have the know-how, we know how to tackle this problem, or we have experience to face a particular situation, then we feel confident we can easily fulfill the task or to resolve the problem or to overcome the obstacle. But we must be careful as believers to beware of this sense of self-confidence that comes into us and our tendency to rely on these things, on these factors, as the basis of our confidence, and placing our confidence in them. If we do so, then we may, like Goliath, be taken by surprise and be overcome and actually fail rather miserably in that situation. Sometimes you may even fail very miserably, even the eyes of the world. But at times, from the worldly perspective, we may appear to have fared rather well. But from the spiritual perspective, from the true perspective, we have failed miserably in the eyes of the Lord. In fact, the very posture of self-confidence, of feeling confident on the basis of these things, this in itself, regardless of the outcome of things, is already a serious failure for a Christian. This is an aspect that we must be careful to take note of. This very posture of self-confidence, this is the posture of the self-life. And though we may often pay lip service about trusting God, placing our confidence in God, reliance upon God, in reality, often, as we face situations of life, we may have a sense of self-confidence because as we view the situation, we believe we can handle it. We have the ability, we have the facilities, everything is in place. And there is a sense of self-confidence, and we place our confidence in our knowledge, skill, and so on, rather than truly trusting God, relying upon God. And if we do not correct ourselves in this respect and correct it deeply, then we can never fare well in life as a Christian. And many Christians do go through many situations of life deeply affected by this sense of self-confidence in various situations that they go through, because the situations do not appear that difficult, that they cannot cope with it. Sometimes it may not be totally that way, but this kind of sense of self-confidence and reliance on and placing the basis of confidence on these various aspects of things easily forms a part of the believer's life in varying degrees, and depending on our state of health and carefulness, prayerfulness, the degree can vary. But we must ponder over this matter and take note that we do not move in that direction. On the other hand, let us also bear in mind the second point, which is the other side of the picture, and that is the tendency to be overawed or to lose heart when the obstacle, the problem, the difficulty loom large from the outward appearance of things. From the outward appearance of things, because it is without a proper assessment of the whole issue or the whole matter from the spiritual perspective. Even believers, it's so easy for us to be affected in this way. And so we must take note that this happens easily, and it's very common to observe this occurrence in the lives of believers. So we must be conscious of this and take special care that we do not become preoccupied with or overwhelmed by the size of the problem or what appears to be a rather complex matter. We can compare this with being overwhelmed by the size of Goliath or various other aspects surrounding the matter. For example, we can compare this with just overwhelmed by the size of Goliath, by his armor, his weapons, his strength, or his threatening posture. So the various aspects of a complex problem or a big problem in our eyes, many aspects of it can cause us to feel very threatened. and overwhelmed, because we tend to be preoccupied with them. And the more we ponder over them, look at these things, the more we feel difficult and overwhelmed. We look at the threatening posture of Goliath and its effect on the Israelites. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 10. The earlier verses had described Goliath from verse 4 onwards, and his size and his weapons and his armor and so on. And then he challenged the Israelites. And verse 10, he said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. The threatening posture of Goliath and his size, and as they look at him, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And likewise in verse 24, when all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. Their main preoccupation, what they were focusing upon, was this great size of Goliath, his armor, his weapons, his strength, and his threatening posture. And problems of life, if we become preoccupied with them in this way and various aspects of it, it can paralyze us or cause great anxiety and fear within us, and as a result leads to great confusion, a deep sense of discouragement, and as a result we are not able to think clearly, to ponder carefully over the matter, to respond properly. Our spirit, our will is weakened, and we are no longer able to fight a good fight. It's very important. We must constantly remind ourselves to ponder over the whole matter from the spiritual perspective. Bear in mind the spiritual dimension. Do not become overawed by what appears to be a giant-sized problem, but learn to go through with a proper assessment of the whole matter from the spiritual perspective. That is, we must, in the midst of the problem, learn to look to the Lord, to focus on Him, prayerfully ponder over the whole matter, and ask the Lord to show us how to view, understand, and approach the matter. How He wants us to view it, how He wants us to approach this matter, and then we begin to see the whole matter from the correct perspective, and this is very important. Learn to view the matter from the angle of how God wants us to view it, how He wants us to approach it. Having made these two preliminary remarks, as we go on, the issues may become clearer. How we should go through situations, including problems and difficulties in our lives. And so we will carry on to reflect on what we can learn for our personal application from how and why David went through the situation well. Why is it he was able to go through the situation well? How did he go through it? How he encountered and overcame Goliath? And as we do so, we learn how we too can face properly and overcome various situations of life, including the problems, the difficulties, and the Goliaths of our lives. Big problems, they may appear rather threatening, overwhelming, but it's feasible to go through well and to overcome. The first point, we must first then, as we are confronted with a situation or a major problem, it's important that we first ensure that our lives are right before God. When you say, what do you mean by ensure our lives are right before God? I will not go into a lot of details, but just a brief remark as to the approach. That we should try to sort out, put right, whatever needs to be put right. Whatever we are aware of. To the degree that we know how. We must be sincere, honest before the Lord. The aspects of our lives that we need to put right, we must attend to it. This is true. And this must be so of our lives all the time, but especially so if we are faced with a big problem and we want to go through it well. We want to be confident that we can properly be assured of the Lord's undertaking. Then we must make sure that we sort out our lives before the Lord, that He is pleased with us, and then we can have the confidence that He is with us in a favorable sense, as He was with David. And we saw that this was an important aspect why David overcame Goliath. And so likewise, we must learn to make sure that we have a proper basis of confidence, assurance of God's undertaking for our lives and also the situation that we are going through. So this is the first aspect that we need to pay attention to. Second point, we should consider whether it is appropriate for us, whether the Lord desires us to go through the situation or to face that difficulty or to accept or shoulder the responsibility or the task. We have considered that it was appropriate and fitting for David to respond to Goliath's taunting challenge. I will not elaborate on that. But now I want to concentrate on our personal application. In this regard, as we ponder over whether it's appropriate for us to go through the situation, whether this is what the Lord desires of us, we can, for this purpose, categorize situations into two broad categories. Situations of life that we go through or we encounter. A situation which we have to go through, or something we have to go through, or task that we have to shoulder as part of faithful walk with God. It's something we have to go through as part of faithful walk with God. It can be a problem or a difficulty that comes upon us. It confronts us. And we just have to go through it. It's not something that we deliberately choose to enter into, but it's a problem or difficulty that comes upon us. It confronts us. A situation we just have to go through with it. So, for example, there are many illustrations of this in the scriptures. Example, when the apostles, after the resurrection of Christ, they were preaching the gospel and they were put in jail. Right? As recorded in Acts chapter 4, the apostles were put in jail and later brought before the council. So when they were put in jail, they had no choice but to learn to go through it well when they were in the jail. They were put in the jail, they didn't ask for it. As part of their faithful walk with God, they were put in jail. And later on, they were brought before the council. It wasn't that they chose to appear before the council, but they were brought before the council. So they had to learn to go through the time in jail and go through their appearance before the council well. It was a situation they had to go through. It came upon them. Likewise, Paul, in the course of faithful walk with God and ministry of the word, when Paul was imprisoned, he also just had to face that situation and learn to go through it well when he was in prison. He couldn't just choose to walk out of the prison. He was in prison and he had to go through it well. Likewise, we have considered what Joseph went through when he was sold into the land of Egypt, and then later on how he was also imprisoned. So it came upon him and he had to learn to go through it well. Likewise, when Paul went through the storm, how he was persecuted by the Jews on various occasions in the course of his ministry. So he had to learn to respond well in the context of persecution that came upon him. Some problems in our work context may be of this nature, as we are faithfully seeking to be responsible in the work context. There are various problems and difficulties may confront us, and we may just have to face them and try our best to resolve the difficulties, how to face them, how to go through them well. Because there are times where the option is open to us that we can quit the job and come out of that situation, and we must be open to it and ponder about it and do so if that is the best. But there are some contexts and problems where we just cannot quit. For example, problems, difficulties in family life. There are some difficulties, or responsibilities and difficulties in raising up children. The responsibilities of parenthood. We cannot say, I quit. That is a responsibility that we cannot quit. We just have to trust the Lord, to look to Him, and seek to do our best, however difficult it may be. So some problems and difficulties are of this nature. We just have to face them and go through them. An illness that comes upon us, bereavement of someone close to us, it has occurred, and we just have to learn how to go through it. Even though it can be very difficult and painful experience, we have to trust the Lord to go through it well. There are some contexts, situations where it's clearly improper and irresponsible for a Christian to opt out. Even though it's possible to opt out, but it's clearly improper and irresponsible, so we have to learn to go through it well. I want to consider the other category of situations where we have a choice. A situation or context where we can choose to enter into and go through, or we can choose not to do so. Or a responsibility or a task we can choose to shoulder, or situation and context where it is feasible to opt out properly. I emphasize to opt out properly. That is feasible. It can be done properly as a Christian. So in context where we have a choice, that is B, then we need to ponder over whether it is appropriate for us, whether the Lord wants us to go through that situation, face that difficulty, accept the task, shoulder that responsibility. In context where we have no choice, or it would be irresponsible to refuse to shoulder that responsibility, then we just have to trust the Lord and go through it. But where we have a choice, then we should ponder over it, especially if it is a situation that's difficult or a problem that is significant. We should ponder about it. Or a task that is not easy to shoulder. But we may ask the question, how am I to know whether it is appropriate for me to go through or to shoulder this responsibility? And so I'd like to consider briefly with you some factors to consider. One, we should consider whether it is suitable for us in our stage of development. So is the context, for example, a job context, is it conducive for development, or is it damaging to our lives? For us, it may be suitable for other people. Many people may want to be in that position, but is it suitable for us, conducive for us, for our development? Or is it damaging to us? And from a Christian perspective, many people in the world may long to be in those kind of contexts, And it may also be bad for them. But we have to consider for ourselves. It is possible at times it may be suitable for another believer. But is it suitable for us? For you? For the individual? For the particular person? Is it conducive, helpful, or is it damaging? Or we are considering shouldering a responsibility. Is it suitable to shoulder it in our stage of development? Or we see a certain need. It may even be helping somebody, something that is in that sense good. The objective may be good. We have to consider, is it suitable for us to shoulder that responsibility? And so we need to ask ourselves, ponder over it, is it beyond us? Is the problem too big and complex for us? We may wish to help, but are we in a position to do so? We have to be careful to ponder over it. It is desirable and we may want to save a drowning man, but if we do not know how to swim, then it is not wise to jump into the deep waters to save that drowning man. We are not in a position. And so we have to ponder over carefully, are we really able to help out in that problem? Or would we be adding to the problem? Would we become part of the problem? Would our very presence, our involvement in it, actually make matters worse? The problem becomes more complex because we are also now facing difficulties. And so just as the situation in the context where Goliath was confronting the Israelites and how David responded in that context, it's also quite clear that not just any Israelite can meaningfully accept Goliath's challenge. Not just any Israelite can meaningfully accept Goliath's challenge. It was appropriate for David to do so, but not for just any Israelite to do it. But even if it is a matter, a situation, or a problem, or responsibility which we think can be suitable for us in our stage of development, we need also to consider another aspect, the second point. Our priorities. Yes, we may be able to handle it. We can help. But let us be careful and be quite clear about our priorities. Easily, a believer can become distracted, get involved in, entangled in many things. Many or complex but relatively unimportant issues. It can be many little things, or it can be one big thing in the sense of something that takes a lot of time and energy, but actually is relatively unimportant. And as a result, we are unable to pay adequate attention to the more important issues of our lives. Or what God actually wants us to concentrate upon during that period of our lives. And so this is a matter that we should be very careful about. Sometimes we think we can help, we can manage, this is something that we can handle, and we just get involved. But there are so many needs, there are many things that we can get involved in, we can become sidetracked. And as a result, we are not able to concentrate upon what God wants us to concentrate upon during that period of our lives. Some things are actually not suitable for us to get entangled in at any time of our lives. But there are some things that may be appropriate another time, but not during that period of our lives. And so we need to ponder over. Let us remember our priorities before God. Ponder over carefully. I mean priorities and not choosing on the basis of personal inclinations. I prefer to be involved in this and not in that. And so I get involved in those things. Priorities, objectively faced, considered before the Lord. And these are aspects that are not too difficult if we take the trouble to ponder over. There are many different ways in which we have been helped to recognize where our priorities should lie. If we have difficulty understanding them, we can always discuss with those who are able to help us be clearer about these things. But take note that these are some of the things that we need to ponder about before we too quickly embark on something. And then even if it is suitable for our stage of development, it is also in line with our priorities. In other words, it's not a matter that is too insignificant, unimportant. We still have to bear in mind another aspect, the third point. And that is, whether are we taking on too much? It may be in itself something that we can handle, not too difficult for our stage of development. It may not be a waste of time. It may be something worthwhile. But we have to recognize our limitations. Not just limitations in the sense of whether we are able to handle that issue, that matter, but also that there are so many things that we can get involved in and it can become too much for us. And as a result, we are overstrained. We cannot take it. And just as we consider a man trying to exercise and to build up his muscles, as he exercises himself or he carries weights, he first of all has to consider to be careful that he doesn't carry too heavy a weight at one time. So if it's not too heavy, he can handle it. But though he may be able to handle the particular weight, it can become too much if he keeps on carrying. How many times? How long? So each weight he may be able to carry by itself, but when it's too much, he can become overstrained, and as a result, his health breaks down. So likewise, there are various things that we may be able to handle one at a time, or maybe more than one at a time, but there's a limit, and we have to be prayerful. Are we taking on too much? And even if the first three aspects are fulfilled, it is not unsuitable for us in our stage of development. It is not a loss of understanding of priorities, and we are not taking on too much. We still have to consider another point why we may not take it on, and that is, there may be others who are more suitable. Others who are more suitable includes also that they are willing and able. It may not be beyond us. It may be something worth being involved in, and it may not be too much for us, but there may be others who are more suitable for the task, to shoulder that responsibility, to look into that matter. They are more able. Although we are also able, we can help, but there are others who are more able. And not only more able, more suitable, all things considered, from various aspects, and also they are willing. They are willing and they are able. If there are others who are more suitable, but they are not willing, then it is in order for us to consider if the first three aspects are satisfied, we may shoulder it. And this is part of the realities of life. At times, sad to say, it is this way. There are certain things going on which others is better, more suitable for some others to shoulder it. But they are not willing, not available, or not willing to avail themselves, to make themselves available for it, or for whatever reasons they do not shoulder it, then others who may be less suitable but able to shoulder it meaningfully may then have to do so. As we consider all these four points, it is also helpful for us to ponder about this in relation to our working together in church life and our sense of love and concern for one another. We need to ponder over carefully whether by our failure to shoulder responsibilities or aspects of upworking in church life which the Lord desires of us, whether as a result we may then cause others to take on, to shoulder other responsibilities where it is more apt for us to shoulder, or as a result cause others to be under pressure to take on too much. Or maybe they do not take on too much, but certain things are then left unattended, or certain aspects of church life are not able to rise up to the kind of level that is quite feasible in the particular congregation or context. Or area issues that are very important are neglected because various members of the body of Christ have been distracted by other things that are not so important. They get involved, entangled in various things, and as a result are not able to channel the energy to the issues that are more important in the eyes of the Lord, that are more needful. These are aspects that we should ponder over as we seek to work our lives before the Lord, and also our sense of responsibility, not only towards God but also towards one another. Apart from the conclusion that is appropriate for us to shoulder the responsibility or to go through the situation, I want now to go on to the next major point in going through a situation well. So now we have come to the third point, the third major point, and that is, as we face a situation or the problem, we must seek to ensure that our concern, our motivation, must not be anything improper, not for fame or to show off our skill or ability. That must not be the reason why someone responds to the challenge of Goliath, or for any other selfish, improper motives. We must ensure this, but rather the direction and spirit of it must be in line with the first few aspects of what the Lord Jesus emphasized to us as he teaches us in the prayer pattern recorded in Matthew chapter 6. And the Lord Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. He says, pray in this way: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I will not go into details on this. We have considered this in our consideration on the Sermon on the Mount. But I want to emphasize that the direction and spirit of it, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When the Lord Jesus taught the disciples to pray in this way, he's not just talking about the words that are being uttered, but it must mean when you pray in this way, that is the longing of your hearts. That's your motivation of life. That's what you're committed to as you pray. Whatever you pray, if you are sincere, it must mean that that is the deep longing of your heart. Your concern with God's honor and name, God's kingdom and the advancement of his kingdom, and the will of God. And this was David's concern and motivation, the direction and spirit of it when he responded and accepted the challenge of Goliath. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26, the last part, when David responded to others around him who explained to him what was going on, the last part of verse 26, he said, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" David was provoked, aroused, that this uncircumcised Philistine should taunt the armies of the living God. Not just any army, but the armies of the living God. And who is this uncircumcised Philistine? David was provoked because of the name of God involved in the situation. The name of God, the honor of God. And it has a bearing on God's kingdom and work. And likewise, in verse 36, he, as he spoke to King Saul, he said, "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God." His confidence that he will overcome Goliath was this: since he has taunted the armies of the living God. Not just that there is someone challenging others to fight with him, but since he has taunted the armies of the living God. And then verses 45 to 47. And David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted." So this becomes clearer when you talk about the armies of the living God. Although he's concerned for Israel, the army of Israel, but at the heart of it, his concern has to do with God and the name of God. "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted." Goliath taunted the Israelite army. God's name was involved. Verse 36. David went on to say, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth." For what purpose? The motivation is this: that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That was David's concern, his motivation. God, the work of God, the kingdom of God, the name of God, who God is, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And verse 47, "And that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." That all this assembly may know what? That the Lord, it involves the Lord, his concern, that he may really come to recognize who God is, and he will give you into our hands. So his primary concern has to do with God and a demonstration of the power and the reality of the living God. That was David's concern, that was his motivation. You read through the whole chapter. We have looked at this whole episode. You ponder over it further, it comes through quite clearly that David's primary concern and motivation has to do with the name of God and the concern for what God is concerned about. And so likewise, we must make sure our true motivation when we face a certain situation, a problem, or responsibility, or a task, we must make sure our true motivation is concern for God's name and the furtherance of his kingdom and purposes, rather than our personal interests and desires of the self life. I said, make sure our true motivation, because it's easy for us to just say that I'm doing this for the Lord's sake or because of his purposes. But actually, there are other reasons that motivates us. It has to do with other personal, selfish reasons or desires that we may have. So we have to be careful and ponder over, ask the Lord to help us be clearer about our true motivations, what lies deep in our hearts. That it mustn't be because of pride, because of personal ambitions, the particular job that we're taking on, the particular task that we want to shoulder, particular problem of somebody that we are trying to help, getting ourselves involved in the particular matter. And it shouldn't be just the expectations of others, or influenced or pressurized by the ways, aspirations, and expectations of people in society or in the workplace. Though we can bear in mind what others have to say, requests of people and the expectations, but this must not be the basis. We mustn't be just pressurized into entering into a certain situation, accepting a certain responsibility, just because such a responsibility or position, if these are the aspirations, the longings of others in society, or others may consider us foolish if we do not move in that direction. Let us be careful of not entering into a position, situation, because of those reasons. As a result, we find ourselves in a lot of difficulties. But if it is a difficulty, a difficult situation we've entered into, it must be because we should shoulder it under the circumstances and motivated by concern for the name, the Lord, the furtherance of His kingdom and His purposes. The fourth point, courage. If points 1 to 3 is present, if these are satisfied, then basically we are walking in fellowship with the Lord. Is something appropriate for us to shoulder a situation to enter into? Our motives are right. Then we must face the situation, the obstacle, or the difficulty courageously. In the name of the Lord, in fellowship with Him, rather than fearful, anxious, worried, or half-hearted. Once we are clear, it's appropriate and it's right for us. The Lord wants us to be involved in that matter, then let us do so and be involved wholeheartedly, trusting the Lord, not anxious, fearful, worried, but courageously. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. When David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail on account of him," that is because of Goliath, "your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Others were afraid, fearful. But David said, "Let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant," referring to himself, "your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." These are not empty words. Courageous of David to respond this way, to respond in this situation, the challenge of Goliath, and this, "Your servant will go." There was no hesitance of half-heartedness expressed here. "Your servant will go and fight this Philistine," although this is Goliath, "this Philistine." Definite. Not wavering, half-hearted. He's clear that it's proper for him to respond this way, trusting the Lord. He was courageous as he responded in accepting this challenge, as he went through this situation. And likewise, if we look at verses 45 to 49, we looked at some of these verses just now, as we read through it, the sense of it comes through quite clearly. The way David went through it, the courage he manifested. Although in verse 44, Goliath said, "Come to me and will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field." And in verse 42, Goliath disdained David. And verse 43, the way Goliath spoke to David without any respect for him, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Although that was how Goliath confronted David, he was not fearful. He faced Goliath courageously. And notice the way he spoke. "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted." Not self-confident, but yet courageous, and because he came to face Goliath in the name of the Lord, in fellowship with God, he was not afraid. And the confidence in the Lord, courageously he went through. He said, "This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands." Not full of fear and anxiety and half-heartedness, the definiteness. Wholeheartedly, he faced Goliath and this big challenge of his life. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you." Verse 47, the last part. "For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." The sense of it that comes through, the courage, the confidence in the Lord. If points 1, 2, and 3 are present and satisfied, then we have a proper basis for facing situations of life courageously. And we know that we can be more than conquerors through Him who loves us. So why should we fear? If we go through the situations of life together with the Almighty God, and we are assured of His sovereign undertaking. And that's why we must make sure the first three aspects are satisfied. And once those three aspects are satisfied, then why should we be fearful or anxious? Anxiety may tend to come, but let us realize that there is a proper basis for exercising faith. And this is an aspect that I want to emphasize, because it's very important when we face the situations of life. We must learn how to exercise faith. There must first be a proper basis. And once there's a proper basis, we can, in a definite way, affirm our faith in the Lord and choose to exercise faith. But let us be careful. There must be the proper basis for exercising faith. And when the basis is there, then it can be a deliberate posture adopted, even though there may be a tendency for anxiety to come, and we may feel very difficult in the situation, but we can choose to affirm our faith in the Lord and call upon Him to strengthen us, and just trusting Him, face the situation. And as we do so, we may then begin to experience the Lord's enabling, and also begin more and more to see His hand at work in the situation. And as we learn to go through life's situation in this way, more and more we will find that in various situations, as we learn to see how God enables us to overcome, then more and more we may find in future, more and more able to trust God, to exercise faith in God, in new challenges, difficulties, and problems that confront us. And there are various situations of life that can be very difficult, complex, that may tend to cause anxiety. But let us ensure that we have a proper basis for exercising faith, and then affirm our faith in the Lord and our confidence in Him, trusting Him and His sovereign undertaking. It does not mean that it will be easy, it will be pleasant, but we can have the confidence that if we go through the situation properly with the Lord, the outcome will be meaningful for our lives. It will be positive, helpful for our development, as well as more and more we'll be able not only to experience God's undertaking, but also to see a positive direction and movement. Not only for our lives, but also more and more we can contribute something positive in God's kingdom. In addition to the 4 points that we considered for our personal application, it's also helpful to take note of the 5th point, and that is that it is helpful if, besides proper motives and the appropriateness of our shouldering the task of going through the situation and going through it courageously, if our lives are also backed up by training and experience. We look at verses 36 and 37 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. David mentioned to Saul, King Saul, "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God." That David had killed both the lion and the bear. His experience of this kind of encounter and going through with the Lord. Verse 37, "And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." It helps when there's experience in going through various difficult situations with God. Our past experience can help us. And also we have considered about David's skill in using the sling, the training that he must have undergone. Likewise for us in our own context, and especially in various contexts where we want to fare well spiritually, we must learn to equip ourselves. And so we must learn to be diligent and seek to be well trained and well equipped, so that more and more we can go through all kinds of situations well, and also be ready more and more to shoulder, as well as the Lord having the freedom to entrust to us various responsibilities and tasks to accomplish. I mentioned more and more we can go through all kinds of situations well, because even as a young believer, there can be various aspects of things that are appropriate for us to go through. But as we equip ourselves, if we are diligent, and I'll elaborate afterwards what I mean by being diligent, in what sense, in what way. But if we are diligent, we become well equipped and well trained, then we'll find that more and more we can go through all kinds of situations well, and in a position ready to shoulder. But not only on our part ready to shoulder, this would also be related to the Lord having the freedom to entrust to us various responsibilities and tasks to accomplish. Because we are not ready. The Lord may want to, but He finds that we are not ready. So He can't let us shoulder various things. And so if our concern is that our lives be useful, in our prayer, "Thy kingdom come," we are concerned that God's kingdom advances and we want to have a part in it, then we must equip ourselves that the Lord will have the freedom to entrust to us, to grant to us to have a meaningful part in His work, because we are ready. And readiness doesn't just simply take place just like that. We must be diligent, seek to be well trained, well equipped. And so you may say, how? Again, this is a very big subject which I will not elaborate in detail, but briefly mention some aspects that we should concentrate upon, some general observations. An aspect that all of us and believers in general would acknowledge and recognize, and that is knowledge of scriptures. And so we must take pains, be diligent, to read, ponder over, to search the scriptures. And at the same time as we do so, to learn to appropriate the truths into our lives. But I want to emphasize that we must not merely agree that this is true, that it should be this way, and I want to be this way, I want my life to be characterized by this trait, but ask ourselves, is this true of our lives? And this is an area of deep concern. After all these years that we have been together, many of these areas are clear to us. We acknowledge them. But is it true of our lives? To a reasonable degree? Are we really diligent, earnest, and consistent in the way we ponder over, search the scriptures? Are we reading through the whole Bible? Is there reasonable coverage? We ponder about these things. It's not difficult to understand. We have also talked about these things. We know that the whole of the scriptures is inspired by God for our learning, and every book in the Bible has relevance to our lives. It's helpful, and to have a wholesome understanding of the truth, it's important for us to seek to read through as well as to understand what the Lord desires to communicate to us. Though there are various aspects we may not quickly understand. We read through once, we do not understand. We read through many times and still not understand some aspects. But there are many, many aspects in the scriptures that are not so difficult to understand if our hearts are open to the Lord. There's much that can benefit us, even for a young believer, if our hearts are open to the Lord. And with passing time, as we read on, more and more we'll be able to appreciate the truths will become clearer to us. Passages we find difficult to understand now, when we come back to it again the second time, the third time, the fourth time, it may become clearer to us because other passages that we have read may throw light on it. And also with passing time, as we ponder over, the truths become clearer and clearer to us. So there should be that reasonable coverage each day so that we will not take too long to complete the whole Bible. It's a sad thing to me at times, and I talk to even different ones in our midst, at times to come across others who may already have recognized, and we should have recognized, the importance of these areas. But yet, after a number of years as a believer, a Christian still hasn't read through the Bible even once. But having said this, I'm also concerned that it doesn't mean that from here onwards you should then be motivated to read through the scriptures so that you can tell others, or if you're asked, to be able to respond that you have read through the Bible once or even many times. I'm talking about going through it, doing so because you recognize the meaning of it, why you should do it, our conviction, and that having recognized it, you do seek to live out your lives according to your conviction. So these are areas of truth that many believers acknowledge. That's why I mentioned that the knowledge of scriptures, reading through, pondering over, searching the scriptures, is an aspect of truth that believers generally agree. But having recognized it, do we seek diligently to live by it? And so not just reading through it to satisfy others or to satisfy ourselves that we have read through the scriptures, but I'm talking about this desire to know the scriptures. So you read through it, and if you do it through it in that way, it must mean also that there is a lively looking to the Lord to understand what you're reading, not just seeking to cover a lot of ground, many, many chapters, but seeking to read, to understand, the heart hungry for the truth, to know the truth, to know the Lord and His ways, that we can be more effective disciples of the Lord, to equip ourselves to be good soldiers of the Lord. And so there must be an earnest desire to seek to understand the truth, a lively way of reading through, consciously looking to the Lord to understand, and also whatever the Lord helps us to understand, we appropriate them into our lives. It's no point reading through, but not appropriating the truth into our lives. And then, I want to emphasize the consistency. Sometimes, in one way or another, a believer is struck by this truth. He recognizes it. For a while, diligently, he'll pay much attention to the reading of scriptures. But it doesn't last very long. After some time, he discontinues. So be realistic. Ponder over the matter. Take it seriously. But at the same time, do not, just because you are struck by this aspect, this truth, for a short while, just wanting to read a lot, spend a lot of time, but after a while, you find you cannot maintain it, and then you just let the whole thing slide. When you are able to spend more time, that's alright, but you must ponder over that the reading, the searching of scriptures has a sufficiently important place in your life. All the time. All the years of your life. That you consistently regard the importance of the place of scriptures. You're seeking to understand knowledge of the scriptures, its due place in your life, to a degree you understand what God would desire of you. Be diligent, be earnest, be consistent. And likewise, the development of our prayer life. I will not elaborate on this subject, other contexts, we've talked about it. But we recognize it, but we must develop it. Likewise, diligence, earnestness, consistency. It's important, we all recognize it. We must not give it up too easily. Neither must we allow it to become a mechanical thing. We must, in a lively way, learn to look to the Lord how to develop our prayer life well. In other contexts, we have elaborated on this issue. If you would like to, you can. Look up and ponder over this subject in greater detail. But these are two aspects. They are very important in our training and development and equipping ourselves to be effective servants of the Lord and how to go through situations well. And then we must also recognize these various aspects go together with scriptures and development of prayer life, to deepen our personal knowledge of God and God's ways. We must never be satisfied just to hear of other people's experiences and what other people have to tell us about God and God's ways. Yes, we can learn from others. We definitely can learn through the scriptures. But we must have a desire in our hearts, personally, each one of us. We want to know God in a deeper way, with the right motives, and we seek to deepen this personal knowledge of God and the ways of God. This includes not only our time of prayer, set apart time of prayer, and the time where we search scriptures, listen to messages, and so on, but also the way we go through our daily lives, sensitive to God, prayerful, looking to Him, trying to understand what He's seeking to teach us, how we can go through with Him the various situations of life, and being alert to be able to recognize what God is doing in that situation, what He's doing in our lives, His hand in the matter, but not too quickly concluding this or that so that we misinterpret, imagine various things. But if we are prayerful, alert, and our attitudes are right, more and more we'll be able to recognize the Lord's hand, and also to understand and appreciate more of who this great, almighty, living God is. as well as our personal relationship with Him, our fellowship with Him. And so we build up our lives, and we build up and establish history with God, having gone through many and varied experiences with God. And the more we do this, the more we are equipped and ready to face other situations that may come our way. Just as David's readiness to face Goliath was helped by the way he went through his encounter with the lion and the bear together with God. But those were not the only experiences David had with God. There were various others. But they all contribute towards readiness in going through situations that we should embark upon, or problems that confront us. Another aspect in our equipping and training ourselves has to do with learning to recognize the importance of exercising ourselves. We need to learn to exercise ourselves so spiritually we will become stronger and stronger. We mustn't be lazy. Yes, it's true, we must not go beyond what we can, take on what is not suitable for us, but there are various aspects even a young believer can exercise himself or herself. So we must learn to exercise ourselves in prayer, and the youngest believer also can learn to exercise himself in prayer, but with mention, with regulation. But do not be lazy, exercise ourselves. Also, outworking in church life. Let us ponder, look to the Lord, in whatever way we can meaningfully participate, suitable for us. Let us not refrain, shrink from it just because it is difficult or we are disinclined in that direction. But let us ponder over before the Lord whatever aspect that He would want us to be involved in, that we can meaningfully participate. All this is part of the expression of our love for the Lord, obedience to Him, worship of God. But not in order to impress others or just to be active. Let us consider in what way we can meaningfully participate. And where we are doubtful, not so clear, we can always discuss with others. But let us be willing. Let us not be passive. We must learn to exercise ourselves according to what is suitable in our context. And as we seek to do so, then we will find ourselves moving in the direction of increasing strength and spiritual stature. To sum it up, we must learn to be faithful in all matters and contexts. We must learn to be faithful in all matters and contexts. Not just waiting for a big problem to come our way and then try to overcome it. We will not be able to face it well. Let us not belittle the little, what appears with little things of life. As we walk with the Lord, there are various aspects of things as we ponder over what would be meaningful, appropriate for us to be involved in, situations that we go through, aspects that we need to shoulder, responsibilities. Let us learn to be faithful in all matters, big and small, and including what appears to be the little things. As we learn to be faithful, we learn, we grow. And the Lord seeks to teach us and prepare us in many, many different directions, so that there's a wholesome training and a wholesome equipping of the man and woman of God. Let us not pick and choose what are the aspects we think will help us become a mighty man of God. Let us be careful. As we learn to be faithful to the Lord in all aspects of our lives, in all matters, as we recognize it is what would be pleasing to Him, then the Lord will teach us and give us a very wholesome training. And so, to sum up this point, to conclude on this fifth point, it's important for us to build up our lives, to equip ourselves, to become well trained, including various meaningful experiences with God. And I want to emphasize, I want to point out that the emphasis is on meaning. The meaning, various meaningful experiences with God. The emphasis is on the meaning rather than dramatic, something dramatic or emotional. Sometimes people think that they are well equipped or they are better equipped if they have undergone, if they have gone through some rather dramatic experiences with God. No, let us not adopt that kind of attitude. It can lead us far astray. But let us prayerfully learn to go through situations, trying to understand the meaning of things and the meaningful experiences that we can go through together with God. If we are not careful also, we may overvalue various experiences just because we feel a lot in that situation, that it excites our emotion. Let us learn to be wise, to seek to understand the meaning of things from a correct set of values and scriptural perspective. The fifth point is important when we are backed up by training and experience, and yet let us remember at the same time the sixth point, that is, even though we have to some degree be trained, we have gone through some experiences with the Lord, we must, like David, learn not to be confident in ourselves, in our ability, our training, or even past meaningful experiences we've gone through with the Lord, in our knowledge. Let us be careful, but we must maintain a continuing dependence on the Lord, the confidence in the Lord, not just in our lips, but in reality, continuing dependence on God, not trusting, depending on past knowledge and experience. Though past knowledge and experience are helpful, we must seek to maintain a spirit of humility. That is only by God's grace and His enabling that we can go through the situation well. This is a principle that we must learn well. It's very easy for a child of God, having gone through some situations well, to then falter very badly because the spirit of humility is not maintained and the person becomes overconfident or self-confident in that situation. So be careful not to allow overconfidence, self-confidence or pride in any way to creep into our lives. We've seen this trait manifested in David's life and how he went through the situation. How although he had overcome the lion, the bear, in verse 37, 1 Samuel 17, how he recognized the Lord had delivered him from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, the continuing dependence on God, He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And how he went through this situation, you've seen the other verses, he went through with a deep sense of consciousness that it's God who enables, and a continuing dependence on God. Not just on the basis of his past experience, he now came with confidence that he will overcome Goliath. I've overcome the bear before, the lion, and also I'm skillful with the use of the sling. Whatever skills he may have, whatever knowledge we've acquired, whatever experiences we've gone through, whatever degree we have sought to equip ourselves and be trained, we must be careful to maintain the spirit of humility and a continuing dependence on God for each situation, recognizing that only as the Lord enables us by His grace, we can go through that situation well. And this spirit of humility and dependence on God should be coupled with carefulness, the seventh point. We've seen this, David selecting the stones the way he responded to Saul's offer of Saul's own personal armor. David finally rejected it. He was careful to consider whether it's helpful. And so for our lives, as we seek to go through the situation well, as we learn to trust in the Lord and to maintain a spirit of humility, knowing that it's only by God's grace that we can go through the situation, we must also be careful to recognize that trusting God must go together with doing our part. We must exercise due care as well as to do whatever the Lord requires of us. And this also is an area that believers often falter. They may say, I place my trust in God. I trust in His sovereign undertaking, God's grace that He will undertake. He will see me through. But then we do not sufficiently do our part. But even the very doing our part must be in reliance upon God. That is true. But we must seek to do our part. If we do not properly do our part, then it's presumptuous of us to voice our faith in God, trusting God. So we must never become lazy or presumptuous or careless. But we must not only maintain a prayerful spirit and vigilance, but also carefully seek to understand what is it that the Lord requires of us, how we can cooperate with God in that situation, and diligently do our part in a lively way as we go through the situation together with God. Now I'll conclude for today with one last point, and that is the outcome of victory. The glory must go to God. It must not go to ourselves. The whole approach is important. As far as David is concerned, his whole approach, the glory goes to God. We saw, even before he went to meet Goliath, verse 37, he first mentions how the Lord had delivered him times past, and then he says that He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. His whole approach. And when he faced Goliath, even before he faced Goliath, it was this way. When he was facing Goliath, likewise, he mentions, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, verse 46. The battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. And his whole concern that Goliath was taunting the armies of the living God. And why he accepted the challenge, how he's going through it in the name of the Lord of hosts. So the whole approach, as well as the spirit of it, is important. Not in any way drawing attention to ourselves, but to the Lord, and also to what God is concerned about. And the outcome of it, glory properly goes to God. I say the approach is important because sometimes others may give us undue attention, or sometimes also proper attention to some degree. But as far as the person who is going through it, the whole approach, for example, David, after he overcame Goliath, others may appreciate him. Some aspects are not meaningful. There are some aspects which may be proper. How he affected Jonathan and his friendship with Jonathan. There are some aspects that are meaningful and proper. But there may be others who may then appreciate David in a way that is not so meaningful. But the important point is, as far as David is concerned, his whole approach must be such that the whole direction of it, as he went through the encounter and as he came out of it and as he overcame Goliath, it must be such that true glory goes to God as far as the person going through it is concerned. The spirit of it, the whole way we go through it, we must not draw attention to ourselves but to the Lord and His greatness, His grace, and also to the issues that God is concerned about. And so David emphasized not only that the Lord will deliver into my hands, but that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. The battle is the Lord's. The issues that are really important in God's eyes, David draws attention to these things, and not so much to this great spectacle of him overcoming a giant with a sling and a stone. So we will stop here for today and ponder over what we have considered, what we can learn from David's encounter with Goliath, so that we may benefit and learn how we can also go through situations well, all kinds of situations, and including big problems, difficulties. We consider two preliminary remarks. Firstly, Goliath and the basis of Goliath's confidence in his own size, strength, armor, weapons, experience in battle, that this also is the basis of the confidence of the people of the world. We rely on these things and feel confident when these things are in place, whether it be natural endowment, facilities, experience, skills, or knowledge. But let us also learn that as believers, to take note that we can also tend to feel confident and place our confidence on these things, but to realize that if we do so, we may feel miserably in that situation. But not only feel miserably in the eyes of the world, even if in the eyes of the world we may appear to be faring well, in reality, from the true perspective, we will feel miserably. Even the very posture itself, the very posture of the self-confidence or confidence on the basis of these things, is already a serious failure. And we must guard against any of that kind of spirit, the kind of attitude creeping into our lives in any degree. On the other hand, the second point, that we also shouldn't be overwrought or become discouraged, lose heart, when the obstacle or problem or difficulty loom large from the outward appearance of things, but learn to have a proper assessment of the whole issue from the spiritual perspective, not to become preoccupied, overwhelmed by the size of the problem and various other aspects that may tend to cause anxiety, fear, confusion, and we are not able then to respond properly. But learn to focus on the Lord, to seek to understand how He wants us to view and to approach the matter. And then we reflected on 8 points of what we can learn for personal application, how and why David went through the situation well. We saw the need first to ensure that our lives are right before God, that He is pleased with us, that He is with us in a favorable sense, as He was with David.